All right, in our final minutes here together, we're continuing in our series on the goodness of God. God's goodness extends to the way in which He responds to His children when they ask for wisdom. He doesn't contest it. He doesn't criticize it. He's there to give. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men, how? Liberally. That's a good use of the word, all right? In other words, he gives you everything that you need and more when you ask Him. Secondly, we looked at the fact that God rewards His children. We saw that in verse 12 last time. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, trial. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. And then we also looked at the third one, that God in His goodness does not solicit men to sin. Now this is an important one because the use of the word temptation there has two uses. It's the idea of trial, but also the idea of the temptation to do what is wrong. And that's the context tells us that very clearly in verses 13 and 14. Let no man say when he is tempted, that is tempted to sin, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man. But every man is tempted when the following takes place. When he is drawn away, that means desensitized over time. Drawn away, desensitized over time. Number two, of his own lusts and enticed. All right, he's brought into that fold of sin. Then when the lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth what? Death. You can't blame that on God. That is our own nature. It's our own nature. It is not God who solicits men to sin. He's good. He is good. He will not do that. The fourth one tonight is that God is not just the source of wisdom alone, but He is the source of benevolence. Goodness, I want you to look over at verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. A better translation of that phrase is, who does not change like shifting shadows. You know, as the earth is moving, the shadows are constantly shifting. And it never looks the same. It's always changing. And that's the picture that's given here. He is not that way. He doesn't change like the shifting shadows. People do. Attitudes do. But not God. So He's good in that regard. In other words, God is unchangeably and immutably all generous, and He's the source of that generosity. Not only does He promise it, but He has the resources available. Have you ever been promised something and then you get the email? Oh, we're so sorry, that's on back order. You'll have to wait several months before that will be. I get stuff that I've ordered. I'll get it months down the road, and it'll come in when I don't need it. It's too late now. Sometimes I'll cancel the order if I know I can get it from another source. Sometimes it's only one source that you can get it. But, you know, thankfully, I try to look and see, when can this be delivered? If it's weeks and weeks out, then I'll cancel it and go to something else that I can find to get it here on time. But the Lord has a bountiful, it's better than Amazon. You seen the big Amazon distribution center out on I-10? All right, big, huge place. They got a lot of stuff, but they don't have what God has in His warehouse. He is the source of all benevolence. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And so that is a picture of His goodness. And then finally, this perfection that's talked about in verse 17 is executed not only in His good gifts of wisdom and every perfect gift, whatever that might be. Does God give more than one kind of gift? Absolutely. He can give gifts of people. He can give gifts of skills. He can give gifts of understanding. He can give gifts of helps. I mean, administration. There's all kinds of things that are listed in the Bible that are gifts from God. So they may vary in the gifts, but in their perfection, because they come from God. But the ultimate gift, I don't want you to miss verse 18. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. First fruits of His creatures. Individuals who come to faith in Jesus Christ, transformed by the gospel, made into new creations. That's how we could translate that. Creations. That is part of God's perfect gift giving. I'm so thankful tonight that I am not depending upon my righteousness, but rather the perfect gift of His righteousness. By the way, it's referred to in Romans chapter 5 as the gift of righteousness. And what does that produce? It produces the first fruits. What are the first fruits? How many of you plant gardens? The first fruits are the very first things that you get off of your plants. The tender green beans. Or maybe you go to the area of butter beans. All right, I'll pray for you. I don't really care for butter beans myself. But maybe it's tomatoes or potatoes or whatever it is you're growing. Or maybe it's something, a fruit tree. Maybe it's a peach or maybe it's a pear or maybe it's something else. The first fruits. Now, what happens to the fruit over time? Right? Well, you know, as a tree produces more fruit, it's not as good as that initial first fruit. There's just something special about that. It means the first of its time. And that's the picture here, that all believers in Christ are God's first fruits. There's no secondary level of God's work. It's perfect, and it's a perfect gift. And that picture, that ultimate gift of salvation, He chose to give us a birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all He created. God is the author and finisher of our faith. Salvation. He's the one. That's the gift. It's perfect. Oh, how we need to understand and know that the righteousness of Christ will never fail us. Now, we may fail, humanly speaking, but when it comes to His righteousness, it will never fail. That's why I know that whenever I have a loved one or a friend or someone from church that passes on that knew Jesus Christ as their Savior, I know where they are. How do I know where they are? Because they were Christ's first fruits and they are with Him. That's the beauty. There's nothing more perfect as far as a gift than that. To know for sure that you're a child of God because of the righteousness that He gives through Jesus Christ. I hope and pray that we can revel in these wonderful gifts that are mentioned here by James. There are things that he caught on to. He struggled early on with the whole shift away from Judaism and the law and then having to accept grace. But he got it. Praise the Lord. He got it. And I'm thankful tonight that we can enjoy the grace of God and all its benefits. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank You so much for Your goodness to us. We thank You for these wonderful gifts. Every good and every perfect gift cometh from You, our Father, the Father of lights, in whom is no shadow of turning, no variableness, no darkness. We thank You, Father, for that wonderful gift that we have in Your Son, Jesus Christ. And I pray, dear Father, that we might rejoice in these gifts. So easy to think of only tangible things. But Lord, we have something that's beyond the tangible. These are intangible realities given by Thee. Your righteousness, Your grace, Your perfection, Your love, Your mercy. All of these things cannot be touched. But they are things that are real and genuine and produce fruit. First fruits. We thank you for that tonight, and may we go out in these days ahead and be faithful in our witness and testimony of Jesus Christ. But we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and have a good evening.